Any sprinter knows that getting a good jump off the starting blocks is key to winning a race. That's true in life as well. For believers on the racetrack of life, there is no substitute for a good beginning. No matter what the task or opportunity, how we begin sets the tone for how we'll end up. And the series that begins today has one purpose: to get you started right. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we begin a series on getting started right, lessons from the life of Joshua. Join us now as Dr. Lutzer speaks on Let's Revise Our Priorities.
Well, the future lies before us like a path of driven snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. It's wonderful, isn't it, to be at the beginning of a new year, to have that new beginning, that new motivation that comes, recognizing that we've not been here before. But I need to ask you a question today and get personal right at the beginning of this message. What is there in your life that needs to change in order for you to become the person that God wants you to be? That's the question. What are the barriers, what are the barricades, rather, that stand between you and a vibrant relationship with God? What would you like God to do in your life today that will change the way you will act and live forever? That's the question. What priorities? What priorities need to be changed so that as we anticipate the future, it is with that sense of confidence and that inner character that carries us through times that are good and times that are bad? I do invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the first chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. You know that we're beginning a series of messages titled Getting Started Right. Getting Started Right. And today I do speak about priorities. The book of Joshua opens with the Israelites not having done anything really in the last 38 years. They were wandering around in the desert. You know, it is possible to have some kind of activity without making progress, and that certainly was true of them, wasn't it? And it was going to be difficult to get the nation going. And it may not be true of us. I hope it's not true of us that for 38 years we haven't been doing anything. But we always need to be retreaded, and we always need a new vision. But the people were very satisfied with what had happened because, first of all, they had the security of peace. The security of peace. Realize that after they actually began the wanderings, after Kadesh Barnea. Not before, they had many battles before, but after Kadesh Barnea, basically they were war-free because nobody else was living there in the desert. And they wanted to continue on because they didn't want to get involved in conflict. So psychologically, it would have been very fine for them if they'd have just stayed where they were rather than being challenged to go in and to take the land. And then there was the security of provision. Just think of it. For 38 years, they did not have to plant a single garden. They didn't have to work to get food because God was always giving them manna. So I can imagine that many of them were saying in their minds, I'd like to stay right where I am. Someone has said, I'd rather keep my problems than go through the uncomfortable process of change. And that's the way we are. We would like to keep our problems because we know that to change, my goodness, that means that God begins to deal with us and we need to make things right with others as well as with Him. And it may begin a whole series of events that make us feel uncomfortable. So what we want to do is to simply say to ourselves, I'll stay where I am. But God says, Joshua, it's time to move. What is it that God asked Joshua to do? Well, let's pick up the text, verse 1 of chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, who was Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. That's the little phrase I want you to remember. Get ready. Because God is going to do something new among them. That means that they are going to have to do two things. Put away sin, and God will give them specific instructions on how to do that, so that sin is behind them and God is before them, and they are going to have to walk in new territory. Get ready. And I say to you personally, and I say to you as a church, as we think about the future, get ready. Some of you have heard some of the things that we're going to be doing, but what we will be involved in will be primarily a spiritual enterprise, not just physical, not just monetary, but a spiritual enterprise. Get ready. Now, also, I'm going to continue to read because we'll see that God says three times, in effect, Joshua, get strong. You'll notice, I will give you, verse 3, every place where your foot is, where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I just can't help but comment on that sense of continuity that God gives. One generation comes, another generation goes. God never runs out of men. God never runs out of women. God never runs out of resources. God is there. I will be with you. And then he says, verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, not to turn to it from the right to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. I shall leave verse 8 for later, but notice, jumping down to verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, because God will be with you wherever you go. Get up, get ready. And now he's saying, get strong, get strong. Now let's remind ourselves what the Israelites had to do. They had to take territory away from the enemy. Now you know that it is always easier to defend what is yours than to take away that which belongs to another. By the way, teenagers, young people, and all of us, that's why it's so important that we never get started drinking. We never get started doing drugs. We never get started with pornography. Why? Because it is always easier to defend what we have not given away than it is to take something away that has already been handed to the enemy. I hope that that's clear. You see, once we have allowed that stronghold in our lives, it is more difficult for us to get rid of it than it would be if we had never been involved in those things. That's why some of us do not find any temptation when it comes to drink or drugs. It's just no temptation at all, because we've never been involved in it, and that's the best way to win a battle. Well, in this case, they aren't going to be able to have that luxury. They are going to have to go in and take something away that the enemy thinks is his. And I'll tell you, it's going to be a battle. It's going to involve conflict. Now, God says, and I read it a moment ago, I will give you every place where you set your foot, verse 3. But it isn't going to be easy. There's going to be a battle involved. God says, I've given you the land as a gift, but this is one gift for which you shall have to fight. And there's no contradiction in that. When it comes to the doctrine of salvation, it is a free gift We simply receive it from the hands of God. But having believed on Christ, we now enter into a battle. And even though God says, I've given you all of the blessings in Jesus Christ, to accept them, to inherit them, to enjoy them is a struggle. Because we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. I believe that God has all kinds of blessings with our name on the title deed. But folks, we need to fight. Did you identify a moment ago that which stands between you and the promised land, that which stands between you and victory? I want you to know that those barricades will not easily come down. There will be conflict, but God will give you the land. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be time. The entire book of Joshua takes about 13 or 14 years. It didn't mean that they could just walk through the land casually and suddenly it would all be theirs. There were at least seven different warring nations that they were going to have to subdue. And it will take faith. There are going to be times when they're going to doubt whether or not God is going to give them all that he promised. Because they say to themselves, we're not sure whether God's promise really is true. And you and I have been there, have we not? There was a little boy who was standing next to a guard at the Washington Monument. And the story goes that he said to the guard, I would like to buy the Washington Monument. And the guard said to him, well, how much do you have? And the boy pulled out 35 cents. And he said, I've got 35 cents. And the guard told him two things. First of all, he said that 35 cents is not enough to buy the Washington Monument. In fact, it's not for sale. But secondly, if you're an American citizen, you already own it. My dear friend, there are many things that God has given to us. He has given us all the promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ. Ephesians says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And if you are a citizen of the kingdom, that is yours. But there's going to be conflict. There's going to be time. There's going to be a need for faith, because your faith, my faith, our church's faith will be stretched at times until we think, Lord, we cannot believe anymore. But God will be there and walk with us. So God says to Joshua, get ready, get strong, and get focused. And one of the exciting things about the book of Joshua is that the same God who did miracles there and help Joshua conquer territory is the same God whom we serve. And we serve at a time of political change here in the United States of America, a time in which there is uncertainty. But as God called Joshua, so we are called to minister. And we're called to let others know that if we put our faith and hope in God, he will lead us. It may be a rocky road. Many enemies lie in our path, but at the end of the day, we can be led by our Heavenly Father, and we can trust Him all the way to the Promised Land.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of Let's Revise Our Priorities, the first message in his series, Getting Started Right, Lessons from the Life of Joshua. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Getting Started Right can be yours as a six-message CD series. The series is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.